Welcome back. This is Chicken Philosophy, the I Ching, part 5, in which I'm not going to pick up right where anybody left off. I'm going to do a reading because that's what we do when it's a red and white episode. When it's the 14th in a cycle of 15. This is the 14th in the cycle of Christmas of 2550. So, yeah, you'll get used to it if you stick around long enough. Hi, how's it going? I guess we're going to do an I Ching. There's no beverage today. I keep forgetting the beverage. We're going to call this the beverage. Our beverage today is some Vedica brand filtered water. Cheers. Our incense for today is my favorite Yangtze Tibetan incense, not to be confused with the river. This Tibetan incense is very, very good. Oh my gosh. I had two of these and made it last a year. I mean, two sticks. And then I found it online and I ordered 4 boxes. Now I burn it whenever I want to. So it's nice. All right. So we're fairly new at this. For those who are new to this, for those who are new to Chicken Philosophy is new to the I Ching. This isn't any kind of professional operation. This is the second time I've ever done this. And I'm trying to cut down on horrible, like, the coins rattling. I had to do a lot of adjusting of the volume of things because it was really painful to listen to. So here's what we're going to do. We've got 2, I think, Brazilian coins of some kind. And this time they actually have a head. So I won't get confused about whether it's heads or tails. So then there's a 1963 American quarter. So this was back when it was like 90% silver. So of course it's tarnished. And then another Brazilian one. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do it like this. Flip a coin, right? This isn't too bad noise-wise. Because the instructions are to shake it in your hands, and that was a terrible thing to do next to the microphone. So here we have, let me get my Superman notebook and my silent generation, ballpoint pen. And does it work? Nope. Blue doesn't work. Maybe does green work? Green works! Alright. So we've got a tails. Tails means singular. It means one, right? You add one if it's tails. And that means it's solid. Okay, it took me a minute. Tails means one means solid. Right? Okay, the next one is also tails. I don't see a head. They're all 3 tails. I feel like that's not... So 2 for tails and 3 for heads. Right, okay. 2 for tails, 3 for heads. So we don't have a line yet. 2, 2, 2 equals 6, which is broken. It's a broken line because 6 is even, and broken lines have an even number of parts. It's like a different way of thinking about odd and even, you know what I mean? Okay, so we're gonna do that again. We're gonna do that 6 more times. Editor Edward, could you play some music and speed it up so people don't get bored? So far we have a triple tails twice, which means that's a change, which means it's one of those lines we're gonna read at the end. You remember? It'll make sense later if not. By the way, if you want to start at the beginning of the I Ching series, you can click right there. So I keep getting two heads and one tails, which is 8, which is even, but it's not a change, so we're not going to read anything later, but I've been getting that a lot. Heads, tails, heads again. All right. So we got Earth. I already know this one. I mean, I don't know it, but I know that I guess now's as good a time as any. We'll let future whoever's sitting here use it later in the episode dedicated to learning about it specifically. But we're going to get to learn about it quite a bit today. But then we'll read the rest of the lines next time, at the very least, and kind of review highlights and whatnot, probably from this episode. It'll make sense later. So this, we're going to call this Earth. This is what Earth looks like. So far we've got heaven, thunder, water, and earth. These are the trigrams that we're focusing on by focusing on when it's on top of itself. And you know what I mean? So it's hexagram number 2. Kun, K'UN, the receptive. Bear with things as the earth bears with us, by yielding, by accepting, by nourishing. Kun, the receptive, is the complement to Xian, the creative. Yeah, you gotta have an audience, you know. The dark which is illuminated by the light, the earth which receives the blessings of heaven, the vessel into which the nourishment flows. This is a time to follow rather than lead, to assist rather than initiate, to listen rather than talk. Redevote yourself to the cultivation of modesty, receptivity, and gentleness now. Let go of concerns about the conduct of others or the progress of your worldly ambitions. All right. By the way, I was thinking this would be a reading for Chicken Philosophy itself, but I'm just reading it, you know, as it is. The wisdom of cultivating receptivity cannot be overstated. Receptivity is the rich earth without which the creative cannot take root in our lives. This fundamental hexagram serves as a strong encouragement to you to concentrate on your capacities to nourish, to support, to accept, to work without desiring recognition, to follow the guidance of the sage. I do my best. You can benefit greatly in a period like this from time spent in solitude, in quietness. We have an opportunity to focus on the purification of our hearts and minds. All right, I'll decrease the amount of me time that I fill up with watching YouTube, and then I'll have that. It is a good time to ask oneself, quote, am I sincerely pursuing the good for its own sake, or do I have a hidden agenda? That's funny if you know Farsi. And quote, if so, detach from it and return to the path of independence and balance. Through humility and openness, we become receptive to the assistance of the higher power. First line. Cease resistance to the course of events. Avoid defensive or aggressive. Oh, the first line I'm reading because I think I got it right? Yeah. So the two that have a change are these two. The first line and the third line. So I'm going to read the first line and the third line. All right. First line. Cease resistance to the course of events. Avoid defensive or aggressive postures. The earlier one returns to quiet reliance on proper principles, the better. Okay. And the third line. Vanity is an obstacle to the expression of our superior selves. Hold to inner truth without regard for popular opinion. Sincerity and humility open the way to a good fortune that cannot enter where arrogance flourishes. All right, so now the other thing about the red and white episode is we do this.
Halloween.
We just finished the Halloween of 2515, and we're beginning something like the Christmas of 2515, Christmas of 2515, something like that. Pio and I live in the part of India where Christmas is bigger than Diwali, you know. The Portuguese Catholics came and settled here some 500 years ago, and so now, you know, you drive around, there's old churches and they're decorated with Christmas lights, and it's an awkward feeling. You kind of don't know how to feel, at least especially for the first year or so of living here, but then you kind of get used to it. You meet a lot of like Indian Catholics who are celebrating Christmas, and you know, it just sort of becomes normal. Growing up in California, of course, you think of it one way, reading about it in the history books, and go, those fucking British, you know. Anyway, I've talked about this before. I'm not going to belabor that point. But the point is, yeah, it's a Christmas theme. So throughout this next couple months, or this next month, you'll see images like this. He has stolen our troops and vehicles and territory and storehouses and granary, and he has killed my parents. This could be a time when I could show my wrath. End quote within quotes. And he drew his sword from its sheath.
Prepare to die.
Then, monks, it occurred to Prince Digavu, quote within quotes, my father spoke to me thus at the time of his dying, quote within quote within quote. Do not you, dear Digavu, look far or close, for, dear Digavu, wrathful moods are not allayed by wrath. Wrathful moods, dear Digavu, are allayed by non-wrath. End quotes, within quotes, within quotes. It would not be suitable for me to transgress my father's words. End quote, within quotes. And he replaced his sword in its sheath. I need to wipe off my reading glasses. So, yes, yes. I think Edward did a good job in that previous Carl Jung episode of kind of redefining our mission statement. Because sometimes I feel like when I'm in the middle of a thought or a pause, I feel conscious, like, oh, I got to fill in that space with something. But I think it was a good reminder that no. No, let's pretend that we're not on YouTube. Let's pretend that we're in a room and that it would be normal to stop and ponder every now and again. Anyway, I thought of something to fill the space while I was cleaning my glasses. Are you impressed? Sort of meta, filling it with... never mind that. Oh, I forgot I was going to use Copal. In ancient times, most authors were supposed to be, I will not say godlike, but actually gods. As, for instance, the Egyptian Hermes, to whom Plato paid very great deference. End quote. I remember one time I was doing some kind of hypnosis thing as a teenager, and it came out of it saying some shit like that my father was the keeper of the runes and the stories of the tribe of Vikings, and I learned the runes, but I was using them to tell my own stories, so I got kicked out of the tribe because that was like blasphemy or something. Anyway, I don't know. Some crazy teenager, new ager nut bullshit, no doubt. Or maybe it's true. I don't know. I don't know. Or download from the collective unconscious, or just a overactive imagination. Who could empirically affirm this situation as a single gallon, and who could pay homage to it as the whole ocean? In conclusion, is the layman realizing the truth, or are the mountains and waters realizing the truth? I think it might have been Dogen who said something to the effect of, am I gazing at the wall, or is the wall gazing at me? Something It's very inspiring. I used to sit zazen gazing at a wall at lunch break at work, and that came to mind at that time. How could anyone who has clear eyes not put on their eyes at once and look at the manifestation of the long tongue? Heaven, okay. Ooh, heaven is a place on earth. Okay, the heaven, earth is later. We're gonna go in order, so you know, and of course, just like heaven. Don't play too much of that one. I don't want to get this video too blocked, but I would be remiss if I didn't include. That's all the heaven songs I can think of. I'm sure there's others. Let's play one more.
Heaven, I'm in heaven.
No idea what you just heard. There's the mid-2515. There's still images for these and playlists. You can find the playlists on the main page for all of these, even if they haven't, they don't have compilation videos yet. Oh, apparently I made a compilation for mid-2515, so they're sporadic here and there. So like, for example, that the mid-2515, I don't know, I'm just pointing at times. Then the summer of 2515, haven't made the compilation video yet. The end of 4615, I have made the compilation video. And the beginning of 4715, that's when I turned 47. So remember when I turned 46 in a previous compilation video. And then there was the Halloween of 2515, and the one we're on now is the Christmas of 2515, and we're partway through that. There was a character called Bagu, but without the H, so Bagu rather than Bahagu. And so if that looks familiar, you have to go into the woods in Zelda 2, The Adventures of Link, and get a letter from him, and you can cross the bridge into Death Mountain, if anybody. Okay, so at the time that I recorded this, I was thinking that it was going to be this guy. He's down there somewhere. So what he's making reference to is this, where you have to go and get a letter from him. It's like 1989, I think, that Zelda 2 Adventures of Link. But what I didn't know was that after that, Bagu was in a comic book, like a Zelda comic book, and they kind of flushed out his character. And so it's that same guy, but he looks like this. So that's the Venerable Bagu on Buddhist Books Podcast is based on Bagu from the Legend of Zelda comic book. Then the Venerable Bagu saw the Lord coming from afar.
Unite and twirl up at the top.
It twirled up!
Thank you. I've forgotten the name of that actress. Meryl Streep's mother. In the movie, not in real life. Never mind. I think, wasn't she the daughter? Something about Mommy Dearest? There's some kind of drama there. Anyway, Shirley MacLaine is the one who said it twirled up. Okay, so Mommy Dearest was an expose about Joan Crawford, written by her daughter Christina Crawford. And then later, much later, Shirley MacLaine's daughter, Sashi Parker, wrote a tell-all memoir about her mother, Shirley MacLaine, and a lot of, you know, tabloids and articles said that she was giving her the Mommy Dearest treatment. So that's where the connection was. Sorry. Parentheses. Concentric. End parentheses. According to one of my former teachers.
That is Alex.
It certainly is. What? Yeah, so he was the one who got me into Eastern Orthodoxy, and then I eventually joined the Russian Catholic Church to try to bridge the gap between him and the Catholic emperor of the cult. It was a long time ago. It's a different time. Anyway, it was right around the time I was born. If that didn't make sense, click right there. Yeah, that event, the birth of Edward, was a couple months after my chrismation into the Russian Greek / Roman Catholic Church. That was all right at the same time. Huh. Anyway, so I was filming videos for the church. I mean, I was filming videos of the Russian church in which I wore the hat and was Gwydion, and then also making art walk videos. And so the people were like, yes, he's a very colorful individual, you know, but there was no Edward online yet. So hence the character of Edward hadn't been created yet. Anyway, what am I talking about? It doesn't matter.
Beholding the Bodhisattva's feat of archery, the astonished enemy withdrew, and on the hero's head reposed an 11-headed crown, his body spangled with eyes, and his fame as an armed warrior was widely proclaimed. Of the history unabridged, of the lives of the guru of Uddiyana, Padmasambhava, this is the 42nd canto. The invading army, driven from Zahur, sealed oaths.
Kabbalion was dog shit. And I was like fully convinced that that was going to be how we were going to open today's episode until I woke up. Now it's interesting because throwing out an idea like that or self-censoring in any way is usually an Edward thing, but it's my turn to read and I chose not to do that today. For a couple reasons. One, I haven't read it all the way through. Two, I haven't read it at all in probably more than 25 years. And three, like, why? People, you know, like, sometimes people will read something and they'll be really moved by it. And they'll say, wow, this is really something. And the thing is, I used to run into a thing back in the day when I was a teacher in a hermetic order, so-called, or whatever, you know, where people would say, oh yes, hermeticism. I know a lot about hermeticism. I've read the Kabbalion. Or they'd say, you know, if you want to learn about hermeticism, then really you should read the Kabbalion. That's really where you should start. Or they'll talk about the seven principles or 11 principles of hermetic principles or whatever, as if it were a thing beyond this one book that was published like 100 years ago by three anonymous guys who call themselves Moses. And it's like, all right, record's a little sketchy when you go that far back, but apparently there were kings and it was fucked. And so they came up with this whole like republic, situation, formula, management thing. And they were like, fucking no kings. And then someone came along and was like, yeah, but we're bringing kings back. It might sound familiar for some of you. Anyway, but aside from that, yeah, it seems to me that the whole thing about the I Ching following the sage, it implies to me like a situation where perhaps somebody was like, there's too many false sages, there's too many charlatans, and people are falling for them and being led astray. What is a way that I can teach people to follow their inner sage, to follow the sage that looks over the universe in silence and invisible, and follow good advice for their lives without being led by these charlatans? I have an idea. I Ching. So you know what I'm saying? You see the comparison where the Roman Republic and the I Ching both imply an earlier situation that wasn't ideal. End quote. Those are two separate wrongdoings, by the way. Standing with your arms akimbo is one wrongdoing, and looking people in the eye, that's another wrongdoing. Like strangers, when you're a monk, walking around in a village in those days. Yeah. Anyway, you're supposed to keep your eyes one, like the length of a plow or hoe, on the ground in front of you while you walk. Anybody seen Kung Fu, the old show from the 70s? At one point he meets somebody who tells him to stop doing that. Look up toward the sun. Anyway, don't listen to that guy, listen to Lord Buddha. Cain. Sorry, where were we? Quote, but what line of conduct, Lord, is to be followed in regard to material gains? End quote. Probably meaning here food and clothing. End quote. Don't interrupt me with a footnote for a probably, Miss Horner. Please. And thank you. With respect. It's one of those things where when a mystic type or religious type or Carl Jung says, I asked the spirit, I asked God, I asked my soul, I asked the universe this question, that it replied, like, we're quoting Ibn Arabi. Ibn Arabi says that he heard these words in his head. That means Ibn Arabi wrote this. So, we'll start with a little bit of Ibn Arabi. Contemplate the house. For sanctified hearts, it shines openly. They look at it through God without a veil, and its august and sublime secret appears. Anyway, enough about that. For anybody who has a knee-jerk reaction against me wearing a corporate logo, I have to apologize. I couldn't find my Hebrew Coca-Cola shirt. That's what this is, by the way. In the background, behind the Byzantine cross, that's a Hebrew Coca-Cola shirt. Can we find the whole thing somewhere? Anywhere? Yeah. 4th of July. Never mind. It makes sense in my head, but I don't know if it just kind of gets crickets. But crickets, to me, that's the equivalent of thunderous applause. So I'm aiming for crickets. Okay, what are we doing? This is here. Oh, this reminds me. Spirited Away. Let's put him down here. And no, let's get rid of him. It is like the times when great clouds cover the sun. Unless the wind blows the sun, will not appear. There is no large and small in prana wisdom, because all sentient beings have of themselves deluded minds. They seek the Buddha by external practice and are unable to awaken to their own natures. But even these people of shallow capacity, if they hear the sudden doctrine and do not place their trust in external practices, but only in their own minds, always raise correct views in regard to their own original natures, even these sentient beings, filled with passions and troubles, will at once gain awakening. You know, this might be a very clear demonstration of how, with the stroke of a pen, a divine name or two, or a name of a divine being, however you want to look at it, can be turned demonic, much in the same way as perhaps Astarte or Lilith. So what? If you're gonna disregard an entire belief system or scripture based on the demonizing of holy beings,
then, you know, while you're at it, you better disregard all of Judaism and probably all of Christianity and Islam. The other thought was, if you consider that, you know, perhaps imagine there was a person who was gay back then, and someone told them, you know, Yahweh and Elohim told us that we have to murder you with rocks pelted at you. And then you picked up a pen and decided to pen your own version of the scripture, and decided to do dirty the ones who were going to do you dirty. I'm just saying, it's not as simple as, these are divine names that I've uttered in a temple, Mr. B.T. Maybe expand your horizons and allow for a little more nuance. Expand a little further if you're willing to allow fucking orthodoxy into your comfort zone. Maybe allow heresy as well.
Whew. All right. We did it. We accomplished our goal for today, which was to finish reading the introduction so that next time, in part 4 of the Divine Pymander of Hermes Trismegistus, our very own Frater B.T., who surrendered, you remember, in his episode, he gave his reading spot over to Pymander. So this is actually going to be BT's first proper episode, and he gets to be the first one to actually read the translation. No introduction. No whoever that guy was. Mr. Anonymous Christian guy. So there it is. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you had a merry holidays and whatnot yesterday. I'm recording this the day after Christmas. And alright. Next time it'll be Gwydion doing an actual I Ching reading, because that's what we've decided. That's what he'll do when it's his turn. And this is the third to last. He'll be doing the red and white. This was what? I'm Edward. That's blue. And it was Divine Pymander. That's orange. This was a blue and orange episode. That'll be the red and white, Gwydion doing I Ching, followed by BT doing Mech and Revelation, and that'll be the end of the Christmas of 2515. And now, for the first time, we're going to pull out the fifth book. See what that looks like, that visual? That's what it's going to be like for a while as we read the fifth book. Should we get started? Now I'm going to start to understand eventually what we're going to call it. Now, with this one, I'm skipping the introduction. I've got it. I have to skip the introduction. Because with a lot of things on another channel and with other books on this channel, the introduction might be like, okay, what does this person have to say? But I don't care what people in Britain in the 1930s have to say about what I'm reading, which is the Tipitaka. You know what I mean? Like, I hope they did a good job translating it, but I don't need to hear their whole story about, oh, you wouldn't believe the lady that found this, and, you know, like that. Whatever. Okay. So, this is called The Lesser Division. Kulavaga. Part 1. But you already knew that. That's the name of this episode. Kulavaga 1. I like it. Okay. And then when we get to the 14th part of the cycle, then get to hear a little bit of an echo as the thing above my head fades out in the thumbnail in between the wheel and the...
What did you think of adding Buddhist books?
It's no longer 15, but it's 15 chicken philosophy. But I don't know what it was last time. It was this, that number. So we'll see. I don't know. Like, we'll see what we think of that. If we want to do something like that going forward, or keep it simple, keep it chicken philosophy. I don't know. Just toying with new ideas. Sometimes I throw things at the wall and see if they stick. So we'll see if that sticks. And blessings from the earth, blessings on the earth, or something related to the earth hexagram. Be receptive, man. Seems like a weird thing to be saying to people who just spent half an hour watching my shenanigans. you don't have to be receptive to me. I'll try to be more receptive going forward, because like I said, this is meant to be a reading, not for me in my life, but for me, the host of Chicken Philosophy, you know, of many faces. And Buddhist Books Podcast, if you want to consider that under the same umbrella. And it'd be fair to put Esoteric Nerd and Gwydion's Astral Coffee House and all these things under one umbrella, because it's this umbrella. I'm not wearing it. I mean, this one works too. But you know how it is. I hope you're doing well. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And, you know, I'll think about what it said. And we'll pick up next time with what are we going to be reading next time? I'll at least give you that much. We'll be reading about mountain and earth we did today, so maybe we'll do mountain, earth, and wind. We'll see. We'll see how it goes next time in part 6 of the I Ching. I'm going to put two things in the end screen. I'm going to put a Goin' Christmas video, Goin' Gone Christmas video that I just decided to make, that I haven't started at all yet. I'm giving Edward a lot of work to do. That'll be down here. So that'll be the video after this one. Does that make sense? So if it's not there yet, then it's not there yet. I'm still making it, but like, give it a few hours and it'll be there. Anyway, and up here we'll have the beginning of Kula Vaga. Pymander over on Buddhist Books Podcast finished Mahabhaga after 2 years of reading Mahabhaga. Now he started Kula Vaga. So if you want to check that out, that'll be up here. Take your pick. And I'll see you. When will I see you again? I'm doing I Ching, so after me is BT doing Megan Revelation. And then Edward doing Carl Jung. So I'll see you for Nag Hammadi next time on the next cycle. Until then.